We're going to read verse 10, we'll pray, and we'll get right into our message tonight. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10. These are the words of King Lemuel to his mother. And notice what he says in verse 10. He says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" Lord, I pray that tonight you would encourage us through your word and that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word. I pray that it would help us to set a standard, to set a goal in our life. And Lord, I pray that this would be a tremendous encouragement, not a discouragement to our church family. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this chapter, starting in verse number 10 all the way through 31, we have here a picture of an ideal wife and mother. Now, ladies, I want you to listen. If you don't understand that this is an ideal, you're going to get very discouraged. This is a model to follow after. This is something to strive for. So I don't want you to, I'm not going to read this list, and I don't want you to go, man, I'm just never going to be like that. This is something for you to identify what a virtuous woman looks like, what to strive for. Maybe there's some areas in your life that you could shore up. And guys, listen. This is the kind of woman that you ought to search for if you aren't married. And if you are married and she's not virtuous, tough luck, dude. And I just want you to know. That's why it's so important after you get saved that you prepare yourself to find a person of faith, because it's so important. And I'm going to explain why tonight. Our culture, especially today, and especially the feminist movement, will berate, they'll belittle, they'll mock, they'll snub at everything that I'm about to say from the Bible. Okay? And they want women to feel ashamed for being a homemaker, a supporter and lifter up of her husband, a raiser of the kids. Okay? How many of you guys understand that is our culture today? That's not everybody, but that's pushed upon us as Christians. But can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how the world defines womanhood. Only God matters in defining your worth. Only God matters in defining your purpose. You guys with me? So don't look to Facebook or TV or magazines to define your womanhood. Go to the Bible. What does the Bible say about womanhood? Because that's the only opinion that matters. How many guys would agree with that? Okay? If not, listen, the world's all constantly changing, and trying to keep up with the world is so stressful, I'm telling you. And it's not right, and it's not true. The Bible's always true. It's timeless, okay? And it's true. And you can put all of your faith in what the Bible says about you, okay? So first of all, I want you to see her great worth. This woman, this virtuous woman, I call the magnificent woman. How many of you women want to be the magnificent woman? The virtuous woman. Hey, her price is far above rubies. I hope you want to be this kind of woman. There's a lot of women who want to be that. They just don't know how. I want you to see her great worth. How much value does this great woman, this magnificent woman, have? Okay? Sir, if you're married to a good and godly woman, as I believe I am, can I tell you that no words in my vocabulary can describe the value of my precious wife? Or a wife that is virtuous. Now, God does not describe her value above diamonds. I find this really interesting. Her value is far above rubies, the Bible says. A diamond catches and reflects light. A ruby glows from within. Notice, look in verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, this is from the inside out, she shall be praised. Friend, virtue far exceeds beauty. This virtue far exceeds beauty. It's like character goes a lot farther than just talent. We know a lot of talented people, but can I tell you, character takes you a lot farther. And virtue, the fear of the Lord, takes you a lot further in your marriage and in your life than just beauty does. Many a man made the mistake of falling in love with the face and found out that there was no inner beauty. She was selfish. She was lazy. She was a brawler. She was an arguer. She was contentious. You see, many beautiful women have trusted their looks as a replacement to character and virtue. Because I'm good looking, I don't need to work on character. I don't need to work on virtue. I already get all the attention that I need. Proverbs 11:22 says, "As a jewel of the gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. A beautiful woman without discretion. A jewel of gold does not go in a pig's snout. If we put a gold jewel on his snout, we say, that doesn't look right. We say, that doesn't go there because he roots around in the mud with it. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is a waste. It's a waste. Listen. It's so important, especially for a Christian young lady, to be modest. When I talk about modesty, I'm talking about drawing attention to your face, not your body. Don't lack discretion in this area. Okay? If you're trying to draw attention to your body, men are going to treat you like an animal. They're just going to treat you like a thing. Like just something to be used. Are you guys with me tonight? This is so important, especially if you're teaching your young ladies, okay? Your young daughters. I have three of them, okay? I want them, well, the way they dress and the way they act, okay, the way they hold themselves is to draw attention to their countenance, not their body. We always tell my wife, I say, man, our daughters, I think they're beautiful. I said, they're going to be knockouts when they're older. But I got to teach them discretion or else it's like putting gold in a pig's snout. You know, that's so important. Proper etiquette. I don't know how many times my wife and I seen, you know, somebody who pulls up and she, you know, looks fair. She looks beautiful and it pulls out a cigarette, you know. You're like, listen, like you smoke, you know, that's something you need to take care of. But can I tell you, there's a lot of people who lack discretion. They look beautiful and then they talk. And you're like, oh my word. They're mean. They're ugly. It's like you were beautiful on the outside. But once I got to know you, you are so ugly in your character and in your etiquette. You guys with me? Okay, that's why it's so important for women to understand your worth, especially in your virtue. Okay, so because of her virtue, her husband's heart trusts in her. Notice what it says in verse number 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." Do you guys see that? Let's read that together, verse 11. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so he shall have no need of spoil." Now I want you to think about that. Her virtue is so great. Virtue means moral strength. Her moral strength is so great, her husband just trusts in her. He can leave and go to work and know that his wife is going to make wise choices and she's going to think good thoughts and she's going to work hard. She's not going to be lazy. She's going to be honest. She's going to be wise. She's going to be honest with the bank account. She's not foolish with her time. In other words, her husband says, man, I trust my wife to take my credit card. You know, I trust my wife when she's home alone. I trust my wife when she goes out with her friends. I just trust. It is, can I tell you, ladies, it is the greatest joy as a husband. I'm just speaking for myself to know that, man, my heart safely trusts in my wife. I never, ever have thought that my wife was going to do something of ill repute. Never thought that. Can I tell you, you can't put a price tag on that. I just let my heart safely trust in her. No stress in my life because I know my wife is a virtuous woman. She's just a wonderful, wonderful bride that God has given me. I don't deserve her whatsoever. I'm so thankful for her. Boy, she is modest and she has virtue. She has proper etiquette. Man, I'm telling you, I love my wife and my heart safely trusts in her. And I pray that as a lady tonight, that's your goal. That's your desire to be like that. That your husband doesn't worry about you, what you're thinking about, what you're doing. Okay? A lot of ladies today, their value, they find value in how many Facebook likes and how many Instagram post likes they have, and they don't find their value in Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about that in more depth in just a second. But listen, understand her worth. Her worth is far above rubies. You guys with me? There's men that would pay billions of dollars to have a wife like that. Where his heart just trusts in her. Man, be that person. Can I tell you, you can't be that person apart from Jesus Christ. Number two, notice her great work. Notice her great work at home, okay? In other words, she's not lazy, okay? She is not always looking to relax. Now, I'm not saying relaxing is bad. I'm just saying she's not always looking to relax, and she's not always looking for the easy way out. Convenience is not important to her. Look in verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's willing to work with her hands. So some people say, that's what the men do. No, the Bible says the virtuous woman is willing to work with her hands. In other words, she's a wise shopper. Isn't that what it says in verse 13? She seeks wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's a wise shopper. She finds deals. She cooks meals. She's willing to go clip some coupons and find a deal. And all the Dutch said, that's what she does. By the way, when you have time at home, you can do that. Okay? She's also a nutritionist. Look in verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She's not given over to junk food all the time. She's not given over to fast food. Okay? I heard about a man who asked his wife who worked a full-time job, he asked her, he said, Could I get a hot breakfast? She said, and she said to him, well, set your cornflakes on fire. That's what she said to him. Set your cornflakes on fire. It's pretty bad. She wasn't going to cook for him, in other words. She didn't care about the nutrition in her home. This woman right here, this virtuous woman, she was a wise shopper. She looked for deals. She found the best food she can find for her family. She made that a priority. And she was a nutritionist. She wanted to make sure that good food was being put in her children's body and her husband's body. That's important. Look, my wife and I know, we know parents who put Dr. Pepper in their kid's bottle. And the wife is lazy when it comes to cooking. And feeding their children nutritious meals. You're not helping your kids by just feeding them junk food all the time. She looks far and wide to find a nutritious food. That's what it says. Okay? Boy, this is so important. We talk about child abuse and all that stuff, but listen, if you're not feeding your kid nutritious food, you're abusing your children. I'm not saying don't take them out to Burger King, McDonald's, and Taco Bell once in a while, but man, if it's like every day you're bringing home junk food, pizza, burgers, ice cream, I'm telling you, you're not helping your kid. You're helping them develop unhealthy habits. She's a nutritionist. She's a wise shopper. And let me just say this. This is just a little side note, okay? What I'm about to say is going to be, for some of you, you're going to be like, ugh. Listen, I don't see anything wrong with a working woman, okay? But I'll tell you, there's a lot of value in a woman staying home with her kids. And if she has to work and he doesn't, then he stays home with kids, okay? But biblically, the wife was typically the one who God called to be the homemaker, okay? And some of you guys are like, and by the way, this is really hard for me because I want my girls, I have three girls, I want them to graduate college and get a good job because, you know, I'm just thinking, what if this dude she marries is a punk and she needs to take care of herself? That's just my thinking, okay? I want her to stay home and be able and know that her husband's going to bring home the bacon and be faithful to her and love her all the days of her life. That's what I want for her. That's the ideal. But what if that doesn't happen? That's how many of you guys are with me on that? I'm just kind of talking right here. Okay. Okay. So I listen, if you're in college, you're get a job, do that. But if you have an opportunity to stay home, stay home. If you can do that, do that. There's a lot of value in raising your kids. If you don't have kids, work. But if you have kids, stay at home, okay? A lot of women believe that they are adding to the family finance by working outside of the home. And if you can live off your husband's income, do it. Here's what I mean by that. When you add it up, when you add up the insurance, the gas, the babysitting, the fast food, you may not be putting as much in the bank as you think. Okay? I want you to think about this. If you, let's say you work 30 hours a week, $10 an hour, something like that, to try to bring home extra money, and you have kids, think about how much it costs to put your kids in daycare all day. Okay? Now you just cut into that $20,000 a year. And on top of that, now your tax bracket goes up, so it takes a little bit off your husband's pay. Then all the gas every day. Okay? And then all the fast food because you're too tired to cook, so you got to bring home, you know, a meal for your family. When you start adding it up, it's almost a wash many times. You're almost just working for free. And you might even add more value to your family by staying home with the kids, especially spiritually and physically for your kids, but even financially if you don't work. That is so important. Some of you can't do that. And can I tell you, some of you, you've been widowed, your husbands have left you, whatever. Listen, and you work a full time, I commend you tonight. Amen. You're an amazing woman. I don't know how you raise kids on your own. I have no idea. Only by God's grace. And tonight I just commend you. But the ideal, if we could have our way tonight, the wife would stay home, the husband would work, and she'd raise her kids. How many of you guys would agree with that? By the way, can I tell you, I'm not some crazy, like, woman hater. I hope you guys know that. So you don't think the women are, they're valuable. No, they're far more valuable. Women can do what men cannot do. And men can do what women can't do. That's why it's so important for a man and a woman to be married. Okay? So her value is just so great. So you see her great work. You see her great worth. You see her great work. You see her great, her godly worship. Look in verse 30. Look in verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She fears God. In other words, she has great respect for God. She doesn't have great respect for another dude. She doesn't have great respect for money. She doesn't have a great respect for a position. She has great respect for God, which then lifts her up, okay? This is so important that this virtuous woman has a godly worship. In other words, her time with God is what produces her great worth. Her time with God is what allows her to have that great work in her life. Her strength does not come from friends or Facebook or Instagram likes and followers. It doesn't come from her beauty. It comes from the Lord. Her great strength and her great work, her great worth comes from the Lord. That's where it comes from. So she spends time with God. She fears God. She says, you know, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. You know, my beauty is only going to last for so long, but my heart for God is something that's going to last forever, and it's going to impact more lives than just how I look. Or just how much favor, how popular I am. Put a lot more stock in your character and your godliness than your looks. I think there's a lot of women out there who spend more time putting makeup on their face than they do actually spending time with God. So her godly work, her godly worship, her worth. Notice number four, her genuine wisdom. Her genuine wisdom. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field, and she buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Do you guys see that? And look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Notice her genuine wisdom. She is wise. She has financial wisdom. She has financial wisdom. Look at 16 again. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. So can a woman do that and be a good woman? Yes, let me just say this, if her business investments are not at the expense of the home, then she could do it, okay? They were just an extension of the home. She went out, bought a field, but it was never at the expense of her kids. It was never at the expense of her husband. Ask yourself if what you do enhances your home or if what you do takes away from your home. Does it bring you and your husband closer together, or you going out and getting a job create competition, okay? Or whatever this venture is, whatever. There's a lot of businesses out there that you can get into, okay? They're everywhere. You got Plexus, and you got Amway, and you got Beachbody, they're everywhere. I mean, it's just tons of stuff. When you get into those business ventures, ladies, can I tell you something? If it complements your family, go ahead and do it. But if it's taking you away from your kids and from your husband, it's not worth it. I'm just saying. It's not worth it. Okay? So you see her genuine wisdom. She has financial wisdom. Number two, she has physical wisdom. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength, and she strengtheneth her arms. You guys see that? She's physically fit. Reminds me of a mom. She was kind of looking in the mirror, and she looked in the mirror, and she said, man, I just feel really fat. And she looked at her husband, and she said, can you just give me a compliment? And he thought for a little bit and said, he said, you have great eyesight. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. Just notice her physical wisdom. You know what she does? She eats right. She eats right. She girds her loins and her strength. She strengtheneth her arms. In other words, she got fit. She considered her fitness. Okay? She considered her fitness. Strengthen your body. Be fit. Listen, don't let yourself, there's a lot of women out there that's like, all right, I got fit for my wedding day, and then after I caught them, I'm just gonna let myself go. Don't do that for your sake and also for your husband's sake and for your kids. Can I get an amen on that? Okay. Listen, join a fitness class, man. Do Zumba. Do something. Like, work out. There's nothing. The Bible says that. Strengthen your arms. If it means gardening, garden. If it means doing beach body videos in your basement, then do it. Do something to be physically fit. So you have the strength and the stamina to take care of your family, because it's very demanding, is it not? Extremely demanding work. So strengthen yourself, okay? She has physical wisdom. Okay, she has economic wisdom. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Do you guys see that? She understands economics, in other words. And she knows what she has, and she stays up late to study what she has and how to keep it and how to be prudent. And she has economic wisdom. Now, this is an amazing woman, a virtuous woman. So she has great worth. She has a great work. Her godly worship. We see her genuine wisdom. I want you to see number five, her generous welfare. Her generous welfare. Look at verse 19. She layeth hold her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So we have seen that she's a nutritionist. We've seen that she's a smart shopper, that she's smart economically. She knows investments. Boy, this woman is smart. So now we will see that she works with her hands. She makes things for the needy. She stays up late and on her spindle and makes clothing, not just for her family, but also for those without anything. And she finds great joy and satisfaction in doing that. She is a philanthropist. She's always looking to bless other people. She gives to the poor. She gives to the needy. And her great joy comes from giving out, not by taking in. That's where her joy comes from. Okay? I like this quote. It says, "Mother, the person most likely to write an autobiography and never mention herself." That, I think that describes a good, virtuous mother right there. She's a philanthropist. She's generous. She knows it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's, you see here, she's always giving and giving and learning and growing and growing and strengthening and strengthening. That's who she is, for the benefit of others, not just herself. Can I tell you, there are so many women in our church and around this world that are just like that. You women are absolutely amazing. I'm telling you what. You women work so hard without being recognized many times. And can I tell you something, ladies? God recognizes that, and he sees that. So we see her generous welfare. Number six, her grand wardrobe. Notice her grand wardrobe in verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow. Let me just stop right there. Let's read that together. All right, we might make this the theme next year. Let's read verse 21 together. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. Let's stop right there. She's not afraid of the snow. Okay. In other words, she doesn't use snow as an excuse to be lazy or complain. I know we're out of the snow. I say, yeah, what about those people? But what happens when November comes again? And it will. And December and January. She didn't use snow as an excuse to be lazy and complain. She said, oh, there's snow? Okay, we're going to go out and work. I'm telling you what, we have people today, when I moved to Michigan, I thought you guys were all tough and like, you know, it's like Michiganders, you know, guys wearing, like, they're all like lumberjacks, and the women were too, you know, and the women wore beards, you know, and I just like, these people are tough. I moved here. There's a lot of people when it snows, man, they're a bunch of wimps. It snows like, it's cold out there. I can't go to, there's a little snow. I'm like, dude, there's a little snow. It's like where we live. You can get out there and work. I mean, I can't believe how many people call in sick or they call in to work because there's a little bit of snow. Okay? That's not her. She said, I don't make excuse because of the snow. She's not afraid of the snow. Don't be afraid of the snow. Okay? Notice in verse 22 or in verse 21, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Do you guys see that? Okay. The Bible never says that because you're saved, you have to look frumpy and doubtful. It says, oh, Christians are supposed to be peculiar. That doesn't mean weird and ugly. You guys with me? Some of you take great pride in shopping at the Thrift Mart. I got this outfit at Goodwill. Like, that's a notch in your belt. Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't shop there. And I'm not saying, but listen, dress nicely. Dress up. Ladies, the Bible says here that she was dressed in silk and purple. Purple was some of the most extravagant, most expensive clothing there was back then. So, oh, Jesus didn't dress nice. Oh, really? Is that why they cast lots for his clothing when he died on the cross? It was worth enough for them to actually cast lots for it. Somebody wanted it. It was good enough for them to want. Okay? Look, people are, when you say you're a Christian, they're looking at it. They're looking at how you dress. They're looking at how you carry yourself. They're looking at how hard you work. And if you're just like this frumpy, lazy person walking around, listen, that doesn't represent Christ very well. You know, you're wearing your muumuu dress with no makeup on, walking around Walmart, you know, handing out tracts. People are like, what? What kind of cult is that? That's weird. Can I tell you something, ladies? Just look nice. Can I get an amen to that? Just look nice. And anyway. I shouldn't say anything. Okay. Because we have women, and there'll be tears tonight. Okay, so her grand wardrobe, it's silk, it's purple. She made sure she dressed nice. Here's another reason why I say, because you're representing your husband too. My wife isn't here. Something that I love about my wife is, and you guys might think I'm weird, but I don't take this the wrong way, but whenever we're out and about, I like showing her off. You know, I'd be like, that's my wife right there. And somebody, that one's like, no, not that one. This one right here. This one. Why? Because she makes sure to be fit and she looks nice. And she is absolutely knock dead gorgeous, I think she is. And she works really hard at representing our family really well in that way. I'm proud to show her off. I hope you guys don't take that the wrong way, you know, showing her off. I'm just saying, she represents well. She has a great wardrobe. She looks nice. Number 7. Look at her gifted wifehood. Look at verse 23. Because she's this way, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Do you guys see that? You see, behind every great man is a great wife and a very surprised mother-in-law. Okay. A woman is to a man what wind is to fire. You can fan it up or you can blow it out. Okay? You ladies make or break your husband. Your husband can be great because of you, or he could be totally defeated, have lost his identity all because of you. I know men who come to me weeping. They come weeping because their wives constantly degrade them. Because they're in a competition, not a completion with each other. She's just constantly berating him and degrading him. And it's sad to see. And I've seen husbands who weren't worth much when they got married, but after they married her, man, she made him great. he's like sliced bread, man. I like sliced bread, if you guys didn't know, with cinnamon and syrup on it, toasted. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Anyway, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. All right. So notice her gifted wifehood. Look in verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So we see her gifted wifehood. Number 8, we see her gracious words. Look in verse 26. She openeth her mouth with what? Hate and guile. Is that what she uses? No, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of what? It's the law of what? It's not the law of poison. It's not the law of, listen, it's not the law of gossip. It's the law of kindness. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not idle. She's not a gossip. She's an uplifter with her words. And when she doesn't know all the facts about a situation, okay, especially with her husband, with her family, with the church, she fills in those gaps with positive thinking, with the benefit of the doubt. She's gracious with her words. Let me just stop here for just a second, okay? Especially in your home. I'm going to talk about two things, your home and the church. In your home, ladies, your words, your gracious words, your words of wisdom, your words of encouragement can go a long way with your husband and with your kids. You guys with me? I mean, you heard Dr. Tai say it's better to be in the corner of a rooftop than in a big house, a white house with a brawling woman. She's always berating and always complaining, you know, always worried and fearful. Listen, ladies, every time you speak, you got to speak with wisdom and with gracious words. I don't know why it is, but many times in church, there's a woman who gets upset. And usually they're upset about something that they looked at without understanding all the facts. And they're misled to think that the pastor's against them or this group is out to, you know, be a clique and disown her, or that she's not part of this church, whatever it is. And a lot of dissension is caused by a woman who gets upset and she gets angry and she talks to her husband and she talks to her kids and then she starts talking to other ladies and gathering troops together against something that doesn't even exist. Stop it. You guys with me? Listen, husbands, most of the time I never see a guy do this, but I will tell you, if your wife is constantly berating and complaining about the church and about the music and about the direction, we didn't have Sunday school and now we have do you hear what Pastor said back in January? Can I tell you something? If you allow her to constantly do that, it's only a matter of time before you're gone too. You're going to start hating this place. It always starts with that, with nagging in the home. I didn't like this. Listen, ladies, can I tell you something? If you can't find anything nice to say, wait, what? Don't say anything at all. And most of the time when there is fighting in a church, it has nothing to do with the actual truth or principles. It's just all preference or misunderstandings. A lot of times it's a misunderstanding. And if, ladies, if you would just go to the person or the pastor, did you really mean that? Oh, no, we didn't really mean that. Okay, we'll just clear that up. But a lot of times people like to hold bitterness in, which then turns to wrath. That's anger boiling up. And then it turns to anger. Then it turns to clamor. That's how it all starts. Bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor. That's how it all happens. And clamor is loud speaking until there's a giant blow up. You guys with me? The virtuous woman is not like that. She's kind and she's sweet with her words. She gives the benefit of the doubt. Can I get an amen on that? Don't be that woman. If you're that type of woman, go to another church, please. I'm not joking. Go somewhere else. We don't need that spirit here. And dude, if you're a dude, you're a guy and you're like that, and you don't want to change, go somewhere else. Bring that nasty poison to somebody else. If I'm your pastor, I'd rather you just get it right and stay here. Amen? But don't stay here. God is doing such a great work here. Don't ruin that. If you're here at this church and you just constantly every week have a bitter spirit about this church, move on. Move on. Go somewhere else. You guys with me? Quit staying here. Why do you come? I'd rather, if you can't enjoy coming to church, don't come. Don't come. I mean, nobody's forcing you to come. I'll miss you. We'll keep moving on and winning souls because that's what it's all about. So she's gracious with her words. She says, look, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to be wise with my words. She's going to be gracious. Notice lastly, her glowing witness. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Oh, mother, you're so wonderful, mom. They call her blessed. Her husband, he also does it. You are so awesome. You're beautiful. You're amazing. Her husband calls her blessed, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Do you guys see that? Her glowing witness. In other words, she's respected by the people who know her best. Oh, you can be respected by people at work or maybe at church who don't know you as well, but this virtuous woman is respected by the person who knows her best, her husband. He wakes up and says, I'm blessed. I'm married to her. Oh man, this is, she's gracious with her words. She works hard. She's not lazy, and she's smart, and she lifts me up. She doesn't tear me down. That man is going to wake up and say, I'm so glad I married her. Their kids will wake up and says, Mother, you are so amazing. I'm so glad. How was I so blessed to have a mother like you? Oh, I'm so blessed to have her. See, my dear friend, we have been sold a bill of goods in this day and age in which we live. They like to sell, this is what a woman should look like. But can I tell you, the Bible tells us what a virtuous woman ought to look like. And so I want to say, all that this dear woman did, she did because Jesus enabled her to be like this. And she was beautiful, not just outwardly. She may have been beautiful outwardly, but the Bible doesn't say that she was. But the Bible does say that she was beautiful inwardly, because she was a woman of virtue. Put more value in your virtue than your beauty, my friend, outwardly. Now, if that's made you feel inadequate, ladies, can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you, this is a guide. That's a goal. This is an idea. But it's one that we can aim for. Amen? And I hope that something said tonight would encourage you, challenge you, and for some, maybe rebuke. Okay? And I'm not trying to be mean. Okay? I just want you guys to know, this is the guideline. This is the goal. This is the aim for every woman. I hope that is for you as well. Lord, I pray that tonight, as we looked at Proverbs 31, I pray, Lord, that this would be a goal for every young lady, every person in this room, every young woman. Lord, I pray that they would look at this and examine it, and examine their heart. And Lord, I pray every man in this room would examine their heart as well to be a virtuous man, a man after God's own heart, a man of virtue, a man of character, a man of integrity and discipline, a man of hard work. I pray that this would speak to us men as well, that we would be that for our wives, which they deserve. But Lord, every man in this room desires to have this kind of woman right here. So Lord, I pray that every lady in here would strive to be that. I pray they wouldn't walk away discouraged, but they would set a goal in their life. They would have something to look forward to strive for.